All right, thank you so much. Well, when we first began to think about this day, we really became comfortable with it because, there's one thing in Scripture that's very clear, and that is that God chose the analogy of the soldier to represent the Christian soldier. He told us to behave as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and so just became very comfortable with this. The greatest man of the Old Testament arguably was David, and David was a soldier, and so just became very, very comfortable with that. And then we began to think about who would preach on this day. It shouldn't be me. I knew that for sure because I don't speak the language of these guys. I was just never in the military and felt like it ought to be a military guy who would come and preach. And it didn't take long for us to get to Dr. Gene Winfrey. He is just one of the most interesting men that I have ever met. He was a rodeo trick rider at one time when he's still a teenager. He did all kinds of things. And then by the time he was 20, 21 years old, he was in the United States military fighting his way across Europe. And then after fighting his way across Europe, they said, "We've got good news for you. We're going to ship you to the Pacific and let you invade Japan." Well, thankfully, that wasn't necessary. And all of us know why. President Truman had the courage to drop the bomb and save all those lives. And some people say, "You mean he saved lives?" Yes, if you know history, he saved lives. And so, anyway, we're very thankful that Gene Winfrey is here today to preach for us. He was a preacher while he was in the military. And so just very exciting to see this true hero and have him come and preach for us. Brother Winfrey, we've been excited about this for a while. And just so happy that you're still able to preach. So come and shoot the gospel gun, if you will, my brother. Well, let me take that back. Brother Ricky's going to sing the song you requested, and then if you'll come after he sings.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we with the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
One cowboy boot and one doctor's boot doesn't make you very gracious. I appreciate Brother Tom inviting me today, and I hope and pray that the service will be good. I have one verse of Scripture that I'd like to use. Even though this is military, we still got to keep the Bible in mind. And I want to read one verse, and I'll tell you why after a while. The verse I'm going to read is John 3:16, the most widely quoted verse in the world, we're told. And I read it. I may get back to it. I may not. Brother Tom didn't ask me, tell me what to do, so I'm just going to kind of go as I feel I ought to. I've been moved today. I've wept a little bit. This is one of the greatest services I've been in about every year, but Brother Tom, this caps them all. As a matter of fact, it went so far, I just joined today. But Juan and I have a little trouble driving that far. And then these young people, man alive, I tell you, you see all the young people there, and believe it or not, I was young one time, I really was, and I admire you young people so much. But let me read this passage of Scripture, and I'll tell you why after a while, if time permits. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's one of the reasons I wanted the song, The Love of God. I want to read just a little bit today. I don't ordinarily do this, but I feel the service would justify it. I had the privilege of preaching at West Point Military Academy. Great, if you've never been there, one of the great, has the largest chapel of any military institution on earth. Tremendous, beautiful thing. They brought in, as you've seen, the great big wreath for soldiers that died in World War II. And then they sang. And then at that particular time, on the outside, if you ever go to West Point, outside there's a big place where 300 people can stand. And out there, they had a 21-gun salute. You soldiers know what that means. Hear those 21 shots. And then taps, of course, to me, one of the finest sounds in the world is taps. And I was invited to preach there. And I want to share with you just some of the things I said. And I dedicate this to all the veterans today, men and women alike. Without our military, where would we be? Had there been no Revolutionary War, no America. Where would we have been had there been no Civil War? And if there had been no World War II, God only knows where we would be. So it's right to have a day to pay tribute to those who served in the military. And I consider it a great honor that they've invited me to be here. As I went further, this is what I said to that group at West Point, and I felt so moved. People actually wept during that whole service. And I want you to think about it. This message is dedicated to all who served our nation. This nation is great because of the sacrifices of men and women who have and are serving. All the service men and women I've known, there was an exceeding quietness about them. They sounded no trumpets, made no noise such as, look what great soldiers we are, though they were. They called no attention to their accomplishments and actions. You men and women have been here, you know what I'm talking about. We didn't talk about how great we were, we talked about other things. They called no attention to their accomplishments and actions. They were heroes doing a great job very quietly. They were men and women who loved and were loyal to our nation. One thing we all share to all of you veterans are memories that shall never be forgotten. We share memories that our families, our wives, and our children do not know. But as soldiers, we know. These men and women were people who laid all their plans and aspirations on the back burner. Their nation was first. There was a war to win, and win we did. committed themselves, and I like this, to the duration and unconditional surrender. And that's what we saw in World War II. They sacrificed much to win a war. They were brave and courageous soldiers who most of them that I know succeeded well in life after they got out of service. They were soldiers of varied backgrounds. And I found this in my own service. Of various educational and cultural backgrounds. And yet they served as if they were one man. Regardless of what they were, they served as one person, and I like that. They were soldiers who endured. They were emotionally and mentally strong. Many of them were soldiers in our particular unit. We were called the kid divisions, and many of them were called to grow up overnight and become men and women, and they did. They were soldiers who appreciated and valued the leadership of their officers and leaders. To all in the service today, we say thank you. You gave us a free and independent America. Then to all those who worked in the plants to make what we would need to fight, thank you. To the wives who kept the children and stayed home, many living on small amounts of money. You wrote letters that we needed so much and loved us and were true to husbands and wives. Thank you. And this is what I had to say at West Point. I want to read just a few things. Most of you remember Douglas MacArthur. You remember him, the great man of God. I want to read some of the things that he said. What a thrilling thing it is. He said, "I came out of Bataan and I shall return." I like those words. Who else said, "I'll return"? Our Lord and Savior. And if MacArthur did it, you can count on one thing. Whew, he may come today. What a day it would be if we just went. Couldn't be better, could it, to go right from here to heaven. Hallelujah. Pardon me if I get emotional. I get thrilled about that thing. I came out of a tan and I shall return. He said this while transferring trains in South Australia regarding the Battle of the Philippines. They said, "It's not going well." He said, "I'll return." And I like that. It's not going well now, but he's going to come back. Thank God for that. I appreciate that so much. He said, "I said to the people of the Philippines, whence I came, I shall return. Tonight I repeat those words, I shall return." He said this in Australia. Again he said, "I have returned." And he did. But I like this. You don't hear this much today. "I have returned by the grace of Almighty God. Our forces stand again on Philippine soil." This was on the landing of Leyte in the Philippines. And then he made this statement. "I see that the flagpole still stands. Have your troops hoist the colors to the peak and let no enemy ever haul them down." I like that, don't you? A couple other things I'd like to pass on to you. He said, I admired this man. War's very object is victory, not prolonged indecision. And I like this statement. In war, there's no substitute for victory. And in our Christian life, there's no substitute but for victory. And I thank God for that. And here's what he had to say. There are some who, for varying reasons, would appease Red China. They're blind to history's clear lesson. History teaches with unmistakable emphasis that appeasement, listen to this, that appeasement but begets new and bloodier war. How true that is, appeasement. It points to no single instance where this end was justified by the means of appeasement. Where appeasement has led to more than a sham peace, like blackmail, it lays the basis for new and successively greater demands until, as in blackmail, violence becomes the only other alternative. You couldn't say truer words than those today. If you and then You remember when he retired, and I'll read just a part of that. I'm closing my 52 years of military service. When I joined the Army even before the turn of the century, it was the fulfillment of all my boys' hopes and dreams. I appreciate seeing these young people here a while ago coming up in their uniforms. The world has turned over many times since I took the oath on the plane at West Point. And I guess that means a lot to me, having been there. And the hopes and dreams have long since vanished. Now he's saying this as he retires. But I still remember the refrain of one of the most popular barrack ballads of the day, which proclaimed most gladly, and some of you older people remember this, "Old soldiers never die, they just fade away." Do any of you remember when that was said? I remember that so very definitely. Old soldiers never die. And I guess I can pretty well say that. I'm about fading away too. So what a statement that is. Old soldiers never die, they just fade away. And like the old soldier of that ballad, I now close my military career and just fade away. An old soldier who tried to do his duty as God gave him light to see that duty. That's the kind of leaders we had. That's what's made America great. I think you're aware of that very thing. Just a few things. We could listen all day to the great stories that the people here have told. But I'd like to share just a few in my own life. I was saved in 1940. I'd come back from rodeo in Muskogee and was saved the next week. I started preaching that same year. I just out of high school, didn't know a whole lot, don't know a whole lot yet. But my first training was not in university. I went there later. But my first training, God used the Army to train me. And I'd like to share you some of the things that He did. So I learned so much from that. I don't think I'd be where I am today if it's not my service in the United States Army. I don't regret a single day of it. I regret leaving Juana in the jail, but I've got to think about it. My first night in service. Do any of you remember your first night when you was in service? Any of you remember that? I was sworn in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Got on a bus and rode to Fort Sill, Oklahoma. Any of you ever been to Fort Sill? Any soldier here? Fort Sill, you know what I'm talking about. Beautiful place. And I went to Fort Sill. We was up 2 days and two nights before we got to go to bed. And before we went to bed, we went down and they gave us shots. Some of you people remember this. The guys that given didn't know anything about it. He just called a soldier and said, "Here." And a great big guy, about 6'4", in front of me. And they hit him in both arms and he fainted. And I thought, well, I guess I'll be next on that. But we got through that. And that night we sat in the barracks. The first night I'd ever been in a barracks. Double barracks, as you know, I mean, double beds. And I thought to myself, what can I do? Why don't I pray? And I went to the sergeant, and I said, "Sergeant, what time do the lights go out?" He said, "They'll go out at 9 o'clock." And he said, "Soldier, what do you want to know for?" I said, "I want to pray." He looked at me, he was from upstate New York. He said, "You want to do what?" I said, "I want to pray." I said, "Yes." And I sat there. He said these words, "If you've got the guts, do it." I said, "Man, it's not guts. I'm scared to death, but I want to pray." And I sat there, and at 9 o'clock, double doors like that, the sergeant said there, great. Here's what he said, "Shut up, you guys. Some guy wants to pray." Now, you talk about a call to prayer. That's a call to prayer. They'd been drinking, everything they do in barracks, and all of a sudden it's deathly quiet, just like the end had come. I got on my knees, and I was scared. I'm telling you, I was so scared. And I started praying, but there's a God in heaven that'll never leave you and never forsake you. Amen. Somewhere in heaven, I have a kind of wintry version. I think somebody said, "What's going on down at Fort Sill?" Someone said, "Well, our preacher boy, Gene, down there trying to pray. He's never been in service. He's scared." And I can just hear the Holy God saying to the Holy Spirit, pour a bucket of honey on him. And he did that. And God got in that scene there. It wasn't long until man, things began happening. And all of a sudden, I heard a guy walking up behind me, a great big guy. His name was A.G. McCullough. I'd never met him. I had privilege to help him after that. But he walked up, and I'm on my knees. He laid a great big arm around my shoulder. We have such faith, you know. And I thought, well, at least they're going to kill me, but I'll go home praying. And I felt that arm go around there, but he didn't kill me. He whispered in my ear, and he said, soldier, I don't know who you are, but I'm lost and need God. Woo! And was saved right there.
Yeah, amen.
Then a few minutes on the top bunk up there, a guy jumped off and he put his arm around me. And I thought, well, he's going to get me, but at least I'll go to heaven with an Alabama guy on my hand. And he whispered in my ear. He said, I'm a Jew boy. I never heard anybody pray. Will you pray for me? An Alabama boy and a Jew boy. What I'm telling you, God will not forsake you. He can use you in service like any place else. He is a God that's living.
Yeah.
I love that so very well. And I'll just give a couple other stories about that thing. The war was winding down in World War II. I remember that particular week. And it was over the day they said it was over. And that night, we had just captured a castle right in the edge of Austria. And we were out swimming, having a good time. All of a sudden, somebody turned a machine gun on us and shot two or three of our boys. And that night, we went to every house in that village trying to find out who it was. And we was in one house. Charles, a sergeant, was in the other room with me. And I came out of mine. And I went over, and Charles was standing there with his pistol loaded. He'd pulled a revolver out, had it loaded. And before him was a very beautiful, young, Lutheran Christian girl. He was demanding sexual favors of her. And I'll never forget, she looked him right in the eye. And she said, soldier, I'm a Christian. I'm a virgin. And I plan to remain that way. Now, if you want to shoot me, go ahead and pull that trigger. I saw Charles start shaking his hand like that. The revolver went down in his... And I said to him, why didn't you shoot her? You said you was going to. He said, that isn't funny. And I said, no. About 6 or 8 years later, Juan and I were eating breakfast one day. Phone rang. And a guy called and he said, Gene, this is Charles. I said, man, it's so good to hear from you. He said, I'm driving a truck. Meet me today, if you will. Out at the truck stop. I drove out there and we ordered a breakfast. And he said, may I pray? And I said, Charles, I never heard you pray. I didn't know you prayed. And he looked in the eyes, tears welled in his eyes. He said, Gene, do you remember that night in the village in Austria? Do you remember me with a gun loaded, demanding sexual favors of a beautiful girl? I said, very well. He said, do you remember what she said? I said, yes. He said, I retired, got out of service, went home. But night after night, I'd see that girl standing there say, I'm a Christian. I'm a virgin. Now kill me if you want to. And said, finally, it drove me to my knees. I'm now a deacon in the First Baptist Church. I got to say, brother, there's going to be people in heaven. There'll be testimonies in heaven that we've never heard before. That girl knows nothing about that. But she led a man to Christ that became a deacon of a church. Do you see what I'm telling you about? God still hears and answers prayer. He still hears and answers prayer. Well, the war is over in Japan, in Germany. And I had position enough I could do what I wanted to. And I put up a big tent right out of Paris where they had R&R. You remember what I thought that was, where the soldiers would come back. And I put up a tent. And on Sunday morning, well, I prayed all Saturday night. By a hedgerow, I prayed all night. And Sunday morning, the tent opened, and the tent was full. There was Frenchmen. There were Germans. There were soldiers. It probably had 2,000 people, I guess, or so forth. And I stood to preach. That day, that afternoon, the captain called me in. He said, preach. I don't know what happened out there, I saw men with their hands lifted. I saw men wiping tears out of their eyes. I saw them on their knees praying. And I said, well, Captain, not being a Christian, you probably wouldn't understand. But I said, it was God working. And that was all of it. That was in 1945. 2003, I was preaching revival over at Carrollton for Ronnie Agin. Big church, nice church. And I related that experience. And a man came to me and he said, I want you to go down to the nursing home. Went down there and he said, here's an old gentleman that every time we ask him he's saved, he said, yes. And we asked him this. We said, where and when were you saved? From 1945 to 2003. And here's what he said. In 1945, the war was about over. And some tall, slender soldier that I never met put up a tent outside of Paris. And an invitation was given. And I was saved. And the man said to him, this is the man. Tears streamed down our cheek. Brother, what a day it's going to be when we get home. And be a lot of things that Brother Tom never realized that happened until you get home, until God says, this is it. Whew, I feel more like shouting than anything in all the world. And I think it'd be perfectly in order. But I saw many things. I saw many things. And I'll give you two others. He said a while ago, we came home. I was so happy. I'd been accepted by Oklahoma Baptist University. I was enrolled in getting school. And I got that good news. Isn't it amazing how he says, good news, he said, you're going to Japan. Five divisions were to invade Japan. We were one of them. Well, I wasn't the happiest person in all the world about that, but that night we sailed out of San Francisco by Golden Gate Bridge, by Alcatraz, all that got outside. The beautiful night, and I knelt out on the deck of that ship as we saw the blinking lights of San Francisco. Sometimes you need to be honest with God. And I knelt and I said, Lord, I'm disappointed. I've been in the army. It's not that so much. But I wanted to go to university. You've called me to preach and I'm out here. And I looked out across that night and the sky was beautiful. A million diamonds starting up there, the stars. The old Pacific was as calm as a pond. There was nothing but beauty and quiet. And I looked around and all of a sudden with tears in my eyes, I said, Father, forgive me. We're going wherever you want to go. I'm ready to go. You've never led me wrong. You'll never lead me wrong now. Here we are. Whew, I got up there and you talk about feeling good. I went to sleep that night, got up the next morning, went through the chow line. Do you remember going through the chow line, you Navy guys, you remember that? And a fellow came up to me and he said, preach. Can we have Bible study this morning? I said, nothing to keep us from it. We're on this thing for days. 10:15, we had it. Couldn't get them all in. Said, what about 2:30? I said, fine. What about 7:30? And for every day on the ship, we had service. I'd never had that in any place. I learned things I'd have never learned in any university in all the world. God is there. And so I had the privilege of evangelistic team. I found a guy who could play a piano and one that could sing. And we'd go up to the mountains. I've always wanted to preach to people that had never heard the gospel. That had never heard it one time. Well, I had that privilege. And it's up in the mountains of Philippines. Finished our service. And the young interpreter we had said, there was an old Filipino man came. He'd stand under my arm here. And he said, the old man wants to ask you a question. And I said, what is it? And I want you to listen to this. The old man said, boy, and I was a boy one time. He said, boy, what's the name of that feller you've been talking about? Woo! What's his? Jesus! He said, tell me that again. I said, Jesus! You know what he did? Put that old gnarled hand out and took me by the hand and said, I've never met him, but I take him now as my Lord and Savior. I want that Jesus. Man, we cried, we shouted. Got ready to leave, and the interpreter came back and said, he wants to talk to you again. I went over, and he said, where can I sleep tonight? And I looked at him, and the interpreter said, "You don't understand." And I said, "No." He said, "Well, here's what he said. He accepted Jesus. He gave him his house, his pigs, his hogs, his cows, everything. His barter, didn't have any money." And he said, "Now where can I sleep?" And I said, "This is the good thing about that Jesus. You tell him Jesus gives him back his house, back his cows, back his pigs, back everything." And the old man looked up and said something like this. He took me by the hand. He said, "Ain't he a good Jesus? Woo! Ain't he a good..." Brother, you can say that any place. "Ain't he a good Jesus? Ain't he a good Jesus?" But and these other guys could tell you stories far greater than what I've been able to tell you. But I just want to share this passage of Scripture that I read to you a while ago. "For God so loved the world." I brought with me today a book of all the world's religions, of everything known to mankind. And I want you to listen to what I'm saying. If you're here lost without God, I hope God will say something to your heart. And I want you to listen to what it says. "There's no other religion in all the world." And I have them all right here. "That has been said of and by its founder as Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world." No other religion in the world offers that. I just jotted some down. Islam. What do you know about Allah? What do you know about Mohammed? Little or nothing. Hinduism. Buddhism. Confucianism. Shintoism. Even Judaism. And there's not one religion in all the world whose founders even named that promised, "For God so loved the world." There's no religious leader that ever said he loved the world. We're different. Christianity is different. It should take, I don't think it should take back seat to any religion in all the world. Right. Dwight L. Moody preached a great sermon. One of his great sermons was on the love of God. And your pastor knows a lot about Dwight L. Moody, but I just share a couple of things about him. He was in Dublin, Ireland. I'd been over in Ireland, and Moody had been there. And there was a young British evangelist that came whose name was Henry Varley. You remember? Henry Varley made a statement and said, "The world has yet to see what God can do with and through and by a man that'll give himself completely to God." A year later, Moody was over there and he was in a Baptist church. And Moody said to Varley, "Do you remember what you said?" He said, "Well, I think I do." And Moody quoted. And Dwight L. Moody on that occasion made this statement, "I, by the grace of God, will be that man." Dwight L. Moody shook two continents. If you ever go to Chicago, go to Moody's Founder Week. It'll be a great thing in your life. And then Moody's life was changed by the love of God. I preached about it. I talked about that a while ago. While he was still in Dublin, a young man by the name of Henry Morehouse, who was a convicted pickpocket, had been saved. And in his own way, he said to Mr. Moody, "When I come to Chicago or come home, I want to preach for you." And Moody, just like Brother Tom and myself, "Okay, be glad to have you." That's all of it. But one day, Morehouse came. He said, I'm in New York. And so Moody said, "Well, come right on. I invited you." That night, he got up and he preached from John 3:16. 20 people were saved. He got up the next night and preached from John 3:16. Every night that week, and Dwight L. Moody made the statement, he said, "My life was turned around. I had never realized the love of God, how rich and pure. If all the oceans were ink, if every stalk was a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, he could not write the love of God. He could not. And Moody said, my whole life has been turned around since that particular time. And I got looking at that particular verse, and I wanted to share a couple of thoughts with you. Thank you for your attention. You've been so gracious. And hadn't it been a great service? You never saw a better one in your life on what you've done, but this capped them all. As I say, maybe we'll just join today. Woo! Hallelujah to God. But I want you to think about that. For God. And there's no other equivalent in any other religion like our God. He is distinct all the way through. And then it goes on to say these words. For God so loved the world. And I got thinking about that. That love of God. And I wrote these words. The movement of love. Love means action. If you love, you're going to do something. Love cannot be inactive. In act, deed, thought, or otherwise. And then he went on to say these words, that you can be saved and not perish. And he made it so simple. How can you be saved? Believe, is that what it says? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I believe that with all of my heart. There's no other way. Somebody said, well, I haven't been baptized. Well, that's not the issue. Somebody said, I haven't joined church. That's not the issue. You'll do all that. But you simply have to take Jesus Christ as your Lord. As the old man in the Philippines said, I take this Jesus. I take this Jesus. And what a thing it is. And then, I like this. He gave His only begotten Son. He didn't send Him. He gave Him. And I like this about the rapture of the church. He's not going to send angels or anybody else. Who's coming? He's coming back again. One day He'll leave heaven and say, I'm going back after my bride. What a day that's going to be. I feel goosebumps all over my body right now. And He'll say, it's time to come home. And for the first time in my life, I will see Jesus. I see all the saints of God. What a day is going to be. And I'm on my way to heaven that will not perish but have everlasting life, is what He had to say about that. And so I wrote these words. The desire of God, sometimes we picture Him as a God of judgment, and He is. But the desire of God is to see you saved. And one of the greatest things that will happen to the man that's lost in hell will be this. Some years ago, I had a friend that owned radio stations. Juan and I were on radio and television. And I walked into his office one day, and he'd made a bad mistake. And he said, Gene, this was back now in the late 40s, I just lost $250,000 like that. It bothered him. And I walked away thinking about that. And a man that dies and goes to hell, lost without God, will have to remember the gnawing conscience. God loved me. He gave His only Son for me. He allowed Him to suffer. He allowed Him to taste death that I would not have to taste death. And throughout all of eternity, how many times I remember this. A young man that I had led to the Lord in prison. I went that night and He took my hand through the bars. And He said, Gene, He said, I know I'm going to have to pay for this. I just killed 5 people. He said, I stopped at the happy hour and had my drinks. And said, I got in my tractor, I left my trailer, and I ran over a car and killed 5 people. He said, I'll spend time in prison. But he said, the saddest thing about it all is I'll have to remember. I'll have to remember. And in eternity, if you're not a Christian, you'll have to remember always, for God so loved the world. I died being loved. I died with the cross. I died with Him stretching out His hands. I died with Crooked Creek giving an invitation. I ignored all of it. Father, I want to thank you for the privilege of being here, for Brother Tom, for this church, for these young people, for what I felt today. Juan and I have been so blessed. And I thank you, Lord, that for 69 years you've let us have a happy and wonderful marriage. And Lord, you've given me now 89 years. You've been so good. You are a good God. And Lord, I want to thank you that there's no person has to go to hell. They go because they reject Jesus Christ. And if there's one here now that's not a Christian, that's never made that commitment, that's never said to the Lord, I receive you into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in this day. Come into my heart. Father, I pray that you'll speak. While heads are bowed, Brother Tom's coming. But I'd like to ask you, while heads are bowed, I wonder if there's one here. I don't know. If you're not a Christian, if you've never made that profession of faith, God loves you. He died for you. All of the cross was for you, for me. The blood that was shed, the death he died, was for each one of us. Now, Father, Brother Tom's going to take over this service. And again, I want to thank you for the privilege of being here, for what you've done in my own life, for how you saved me and how you've kept me. And now, climaxing my life here today, in Jesus' name, Brother Tom.